Welcome back to another episode of Masked Monologues. Today, I'm excited to have Jared Sherman here with me. He's going to introduce himself and tell us about what he does.
Hey, thanks for having me. Great to be here. As you said, my name is Jared Sherman, and I am a founder of SuperSurf. We're a growth agency, and we specialize in audience and community development, retention, and monetization for brands and creators.
That's wonderful. Can you tell me how you got into this industry, how you started out, and what your mission is?
Yeah, I come from TV and film. I'm a producer and a director, and I started in live television as a producer-director, directing live multicam studio shoots and creating original series in kids' TV, actually, and got a lot of experience there. Working in media, it was early on, so I started working in digital right at the beginning. This was like 2000, 2001, and it was the beginning of all things digital. And so I was interested in that space, and we started to create content and shows that were multi-platform, and it was like really unheard of at the time. And I left that job to start a production company. I started producing and directing for TV and started doing some branded content and some digital content. So now this is like 2005, 2006. We looked at mobile content, but there was no smartphones. There was nothing like that. So we were just trying to figure out content for mobile, for flip phones and that kind of thing. And it was just a little too soon. So I leaned into sort of digital for desktop and wound up working with a production company that had a lot of TV shows and was looking to do, they didn't know what a podcast was, but because I knew what a podcast was, I was their digital expert. They wanted to create content that was for the fans of the show that was on digital platforms, what became known as between episodes and between seasons, that sort of content. So I created a season's worth of content for this hit show. It was called Life with Derek and won a bunch of awards and the fans went crazy. So it was all very successful. And at that point, I launched a company with a partner called Smoke Bomb. And Smoke Bomb was a purely digital studio. And so we developed more of these sort of companion experiences for TV series. They eventually acquired us. The production company acquired us. So we became their in-house studio. And that gave us the opportunity and a lot of rope to try all kinds of things. So we were doing a lot of companion experiences for the TV shows, but we were also innovating digital formats. So we created the world's first app-based sitcom for tween girls that was about a record label and a rising band. It was really fun. And what was innovative about it was up to that point, we've been doing all these sort of TV series was on the TV channel and the digital companion experiences were on the digital channels. And this app let us put the TV show right beside the digital experiences all inside one app. And it was great. We had original music and we got very close to selling it to Disney. I think it wound up going to Hulu in the end. And so we're creating these sort of 360 digital formats, TV sort of and digital companion experiences all together and a lot more of these digital experiences. And what that led to was working with social media teams who became part of our campaigns. We would do these interactive campaigns around these TV shows and then the social media would support it. And what we started to see was that the social was really the important part. I'll jump over the fact that we left that company, we started another company. My partner and I decided we wanted to get into product and off of projects. So we launched a startup that was in the meme and GIF space, working with brands to help them get their meme and GIF content out to fans so they could customize them. And we were working with some great brands. We had Cheech and Chong and Frank Zappa and Stan Lee and John Belushi. And we had some great clients that we were working with. And the short story on that is the bottom fell out of crypto and the company fell apart. And coming out of that is where I am now at SuperSurf, is looking back at all that audience work I was doing, community building work. We had some great wins back in the day. And I boiled down all the lessons of that experience, those experiences and those projects. And that really became the basis of SuperSurf's philosophy, which is really about super-serving fans, over-delivering for fans and giving them an experience that is so good and so unexpected from the brand or the creator that they love that they just have to tell other people. And so the whole mission of SuperSurf is let's over-deliver to fans so hard that they have to evangelize. So we want to turn fans into evangelists. And that's the agency motto.
Okay, so now I want to ask you, can you speak about some of the clients you've worked with before and how you've over-delivered for their fans or just what it is that you do on a daily basis?
Yeah, I'll tell you about at the previous agency that I founded, the second one after Smoke Bomb. We worked on a show we were the official social for a show called Wynonna Earp, which was started out as a on the Sci-Fi Network. I think it's now on Netflix. And so it was a comic book adaptation, like a Western sci-fi kind of thing. And it was very cool. Great show. And so we put together some strategies for engaging the audience there. And we built these interactive campaigns and let them hack into characters' computers and discover personal storylines that were happening that the fans were really invested in. And really wound up connecting with this audience. But this audience was very passionate about this show. The short story on that one is that there was a lesbian relationship that was blossoming in the show. And most TV series, when there's a gay relationship, tend to kill off one of the partners in the relationship, or like a morality play. But this show didn't. This show actually let that be one of the central relationships in the show and let it evolve and blossom over time. And the fans, a big chunk of whom were the LGBT plus community, went crazy for it. I think because they were feeling seen and heard and not being talked down to by the producers. And the show became a real cult hit and built up a very passionate fandom around the show, a very passionate and non-toxic, like a really sort of exemplary fandom around the show. And we were right in the center of it, nurturing it all along. And we had a really great experience with the fans. We wound up putting somebody in the role of a community manager, and she was able to connect with the fans on all the aspects, on the Western aspect, on the fantasy aspect, on the sort of sexuality aspect and the gay aspect, and was able to speak to them as a member of the community more than just a moderator on the social. And they went crazy for her. And so there was a big lesson for me there about making sure that whoever is doing community engagement is of the community and can speak their language. And when they throw those little references out, that person should be able to know, understand those references and then throw them back at the fan. The fans eat that kind of thing up. Again, it makes them feel understood and seen and heard. There's a pattern developing here. And that show, we wound up doing two seasons of until it became a bona fide hit and Sci-Fi stepped in and said, okay, we'll take it from here. But it was a great experience and many lessons learned on that one that really have become the foundation of SuperServe. And so on a day-to-day basis, every project that we undertake, whether it's for a creator, we're working with several now, or a TV IP like Wynonna, it all starts with a deep dive. We've got a sort of a process of these 10 modules, and we do a deep dive. I want to know who the audience is, so we'll create personas. I want to know what they're into, what platforms they're on, what motivates them, what they're passionate about, what makes them laugh, what makes them angry. I want to know this audience. And usually it's the audience's segment. Usually because something like Wynonna had three or four. There was the Western, the fantasy, the LGBTQ, the romance. So there's different pieces of an IP like that that appeal to different segments of the audience. So we want to understand the audience. We want to create personas. And then we do a deep dive on what else is out there, the competition. We want to know what's in the marketplace. Research drives everything. And then we start to develop content strategy and engagement strategy. And one of SuperServe's sort of key things is we don't call them community managers, even though I just did, but we don't typically call them community managers because I have a very strong feeling that you can't create a community by managing people. You have to engage with them and it has to be authentic. It has to be a real thing. It can't just be pushing buttons and canned comments. At SuperServe, we call them engagement specialists. And it's a sort of a minor mental adjustment for the person sitting in the air chair doing that job. But if they sit down and think, I'm here to engage with people, not to manage them, they carry themselves differently. They behave differently in the role. We've seen it. So it's an important distinction, even though it's small. But I think the small details really all add up to make a big difference when it comes to this kind of thing. Nurturing fandom, building communities, creating relationships with people. Those details matter. So we basically build this big strategy report that gives us a holistic picture of the brand or the creator or the IP or whatever it is. And then we build strategy around that, content strategy, engagement strategy, monetization strategy, if that's part of the plan. Loyalty and reward strategy, if that's part of the plan, if it fits. And then sometimes we stop there. We hand over the strategy guide and they take that. They have a team and their team executes. But more often than not these days, we execute. And it's just a monthly, month to month. We have a content calendar. We're doing metrics reports. We're analyzing what's working. We're making adjustments based on what's working, what's not working. And generally, we're seeing very happy clients and SuperServe fans. And just a little bit more for you on SuperServe and what you asked me, what does that mean? SuperServe fans. It goes back to making fans feel seen and heard. But it goes even further than that. A lot of brands are using social media just to blast out one-way messages. We have a new episode. We have new product in the store. Blasting out one-way messaging. People are inundated by ads and marketing all day, every day. So for them to come onto Instagram or Twitter or whatever and Seymour marketing messaging isn't very engaging. It's just, you're just another shouted promo in a sea of shouted promos. And easy to ignore. There's nothing to hook on to, and there's nothing to come back for. There's no reason to come back. That doesn't foster community. So for us, we focus on two-way conversation, which the socials are great for. We want to actually build relationships with people. And we have a philosophy that every comment that anyone makes on social is an opportunity to start a relationship, to start a conversation. And a conversation is the beginning of a relationship, and the relationships are the beginning of a community. So it all starts with, let's talk to people. Let's get to know them. Let's engage with them. So we want to have two-way conversation. We want to engage with people as much as possible. We want to get to know them. And we go from there. It's really about just creating that engagement with people and getting to know them and making them feel valued and listened to and understood and feel relevant. And then over-deliver by bringing them inside the tent. We want to make them feel privileged, like they're insiders, like they have special access. And then we like to lean into surprise and delight. So we like to reward people unexpectedly, not necessarily contest, but hey, we like that comment that you made. We're going to send you something. And when you do that, and again, it's novel. People don't send people stuff for free. And if you're a fan of something and they acknowledge you, number one, that's a big deal, usually, if you're a fan. If they're going to value you and appreciate you and send you something, that's a next level kind of valuation. And so the effect that tends to have is people get very appreciative. They're surprised and they're excited. And when that thing shows up at their door, t-shirt or sticker or whatever, they want to show it off. So they tend to post about it. And that is people evangelizing the brand on behalf of the brand without being asked. So yeah, there is a process there and there are many steps to take, but it's achievable.
Okay, so now I'd like to discuss the execution aspect of this, because you were saying how sometimes you just come up with the content strategy, what you do on the marketing end, and you just hand it over to the company and they execute on it. But I want to know that when in the cases where you have to execute on the strategy, on the plan, do you outsource it to other companies? Because this seems to be such a specific project where one company might want, I'm not sure if it's an app, and then another company might want an entire website set up, or it might be, I'm assuming it has something to do with technology, or even if it has anything to do with creating a product line or products, do you do that all at SuperServe, or do you outsource it to another company? Do you hire professionals? How does that work?
Every project is a different set of situations. So I mentioned that we did these big interactive builds back in the day with Smokebomb and the other companies. I've gotten away from that because in my experience, those didn't move the needle in terms of fan engagement anywhere near as much as sort of authentic connection on social media did. And they were expensive to build. So the return on investment, I just didn't see it really in the kind of stuff we were doing. Granted, I'm in Canada and a lot of the market was Canadian and it's a small market. So for that stuff to make a dent, maybe it's a different story in the US where the audiences are bigger. But I do have the expertise and experience and the people around me to execute on any of those types of things, app builds or websites or product lines. We're getting very into TikTok shop these days and working with a team that has manufacturers around the world that can create product quite quickly. And it's not cheap knockoff stuff. These are actually the manufacturers who manufacture known brands. This is them doing off-market stuff. So it's all high quality merch. So I have all those relationships and the ability to create in any of those categories. All of that is, yeah, like working with other companies or other teams to execute. And it's just what that actually ends up translating to is cost savings for clients, because I'm not carrying overhead that I have to mark up. And usually there's equity deals in some of that so that upfront costs are lower, but there's back end participation, especially on the TikTok shop stuff. Yeah, and on the social stuff that we're executing, I have my go-to people that I go to again and again to take on the role of content development or community engagement specialist, that sort of thing. So everybody, SuperServe is a very lean operation intentionally, because I've had it the other way. Smokebomb was not, Digital Howard was the company that came after Smokebomb. That was not. Those were had staffs and overheads and expenses that we had to pass along to our clients. And so I'm trying to avoid all of that. And so Working with contractors around the world allows me to work with the best talent, not necessarily the localist best talent, and allows me to keep costs low, which I can pass along.
And now I'd like to know, when clients come to you, do they generally have an idea of what they want to do? Or is it usually they don't know how to gain, they don't know how to have their fan base invested in what they do, and you're the one who comes up with everything in the strategy? Or has there been times when they've had this specific idea in mind and you've had to convince them that wouldn't be the right path? Or do you try and work on that idea and make something that both will be beneficial to the fan base and also is what the client has in mind?
Typically, they come to us and say, hey, we've got this new show that's greenlit, or we've got this thing that's happening, but we don't know what to do from here. And my response to that is, why would you? You're a TV producer. You're great at making TV shows, but digital is its own specialty, and you're not a specialist in it. So I wouldn't expect that you would know what to do. So usually we're soup to nuts. We take, here's your show. Here's the world of your show, or here your creator. Here's your world. Here's what you do in your vertical. And we'll all run from there. And when we're developing a strategy, go around complementary strategy to go with it, it's all about what the audience is going to want, what they're interested in this brand for, and how to give them more of them. But at the end of the day, for us, it all comes back to fans of anything want two things. They want access and status. And they want access. They want more of the thing they love. They want to feel like insiders. They want the one-on-one phone call or the chance to meet the brand in person. You want that access. And then when they get that access, status of the rest of the community knowing it. So there's lots of ways to grant that access that is valuable to fans, and lots of ways to illustrate status. And so they're all sort of tools in the tool belt, and we pull them out when it's appropriate. It's rare that a client comes to me and says, here's what we want you to do, X, Y, Z, go. Usually if they come with an idea, a concept that we can explore, I'm always happy to explore concept. But I always want to weigh that against, is it viable? Is it going to give you the return you say you want? Like, you want to know what your goals are to start. And is this idea the best way to achieve? And sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't. We're happy to explore. But if it's not, really it's a pretty simple explanation for them as to why they can understand that.
Okay. And now I'd like to ask if there's an individual out there who'd like to start up a company, maybe it's in film, in marketing, in production, what skills would they need to have prior to starting, or what have you found that you draw on most when it comes to managing the company, having client relationships, having relationships with other businesses? What has worked best for you, and what are some general tips and tricks others could take away from that?
Yeah, I've always said at the end of the day, there's the business that you're in, and then there's the business of running the business. And the business of running the business is the same sort of no matter what business you're in. It's all the administrative stuff, legal and insurance and payroll and invoicing, bookkeeping and tax, all that kind of stuff. And that's basic business knowledge. If you have any experience running a business, or business school will train you in all that kind of stuff. And you don't have to go to business school to get that knowledge these days, especially. But having an understanding of all those requirements is essential. There's the business development part, which is getting clients. If you have somebody willing to hire you to do X, Y, and Z, you can just jump in. There's no better way to learn than from trial by fire. But in terms of the nuance of business, I'm just social media, strategy, marketing, understanding an audience, understanding people, some of that is the position. A lot of it is experience. And the way you get past experiences is by playing yes, jumping in, and learning on your feet. Always going to be advantageous. You can take courses and get a better handle on marketing and a better handle on social media management. I think these days, anybody who's sort of starting out is a digital native and has grown up on social. So already has a great understanding of those platforms, how they work, and get content spread, and your brand visible to non-followers and all that kind of stuff. But if you don't have that, then yes, of course, it's a trial by fire. This way to that experience.
Okay. And I want to thank you so much for joining me on this podcast. If people would like to reach out and connect with you, where is the best place to find you?
You can reach out on the website, soup.me, S-U-P-E-R-S-E-R-V-E. Or you can reach me at superserve gmail.com of the general. And yeah, if you have a project, if you have a question, if you're looking to build an audience, if you're a creator and you want to build a community around yourself that you can monetize, we'd love to chat with what we do.
Thank you so much for taking the time and speaking with us. And thank you for listening to this podcast episode. If you like this episode and you want more episodes like this, then please leave a review and share with a friend or family member.
Thanks for having me. It was a real treat. I hope I didn't talk too much.
No, it was wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks. Me.